And I read Captain Carpenter. I don't know what I think of that. It's sort of a ballad, a sort of I wanted it to sound as if it might have come out of Renaissance England or 16th century England, about the Captain Carpenter who people have asked me, did he represent, he fought to the end till finally they got him down, and they said, does he represent the Old South? No, I didn't think of that. I would say, does he represent the old time religion? No, I didn't think of that. Well, what did you think of? Well, I imagine that unconsciously I was basing it on Don Quixote. It's like Don Quixote. The spirit is the same. Captain Carpenter rose up in his prime, put on his pistols, and went riding out, but had got well nigh nowhere at that time till he fell in with ladies in a rout. It was a pretty lady and all her train that played with him so sweetly, but before an hour she'd taken a sword with all her main and twined him of his nose forevermore. Captain Carpenter mounted up one day and rode straightway into a stranger rogue that looked unchristian, but be that as may, the captain did not wait upon prologue, but drew upon him out of his great heart. The other swung against him with a club and cracked his two legs at the shinny part and let him roll and stick like any tub. Captain Carpenter rode many a time. From male and female took he sundry harms. He met the wife of Satan, crying, I'm the she-wolf, bids you shall bear no more arms. There strokes and counters whistled in the wind. I wish he had delivered half his blows, but where she should have made off like a hind, the bitch bit off his arms at the elbows. And Captain Carpenter parted with his ears to a black devil that used him in this wise. Oh, Jesus, ere his 80 years, another had plucked out his sweet blue eyes. Captain Carpenter got up on his roan and sallied from the gate in hell's despite. I heard him asking in the grimmest tone if any enemy yet there was to fight. To any adversary it is fame if he risk to be wounded by my tongue or burnt in two beneath my red heart's flame. These are the perils he is cast among. But if he can, he has a pretty choice from an anatomy with little to lose, whether he cut my tongue and take my voice, or whether it be my round red heart he choose. It was the neatest knave that ever was seen stepping in perfume from his lady's bower, who at this word put in his merry mien and fell on Captain Carpenter like a tower. I would not knock old fellows in the dust, but there lay Captain Carpenter on his back, his weapons were the old heart in his bust, and a blade shook between rotten teeth, alack. The rogue in scarlet and gray soon knew his mind. He wished to get his trophy and depart. With gentle apology and touch refined, he pierced him and produced the captain's heart. God's mercy rest on Captain Carpenter now. I thought him, sirs, an honest gentleman, citizen, husband, soldier, and scholar renowned. Let jangling kites eat of him if they can. But God's deep curses follow after those that shore him of his goodly nose and ears, his legs and strong arms at the two elbows, and eyes that had not watered 70 years. The curse of hell upon the sleek upstart that got the captain finally on his back and took the red, red vitals of his heart and made the kites to wet their beaks, clack, clack.